Kick off!
And they're off in the Kentucky Derby. Built for Pleasure gets away quickly on the extreme outside. Unbridled Song moves smoothly. And from between horses, Honor and Glory as expected. Now here comes Honor and Glory up to take the early lead. Victory Speech passing the stands for the first time. Honor and Glory in front. And Matty G is expected into the second spot. Unbridled Song, the favorite on the outside, is third. Built for Pleasure, fourth. Skip Away on the outside is fifth. Semarant, sixth. Halo Sunshine, seventh. Along the inside, Victory Speech is eighth. Cavaneer is ninth. Zarb's Magic is tenth. Louis Couture is on the outside, 11th. Prince of Thieves, 12th. Ali Rob is 13th. Two and a half back in contention, 14th. Then comes Grindstone and his entry mate. Editor's note. Diligence is next, Porker, and last in the field of 19, Blowout. Down the backstretch, Honor and Glory continuing to show the way by half a length. Matty G second, an Unbridled Song is right there. And Mike Smith on the outside asks him, and he puts a head in front. Unbridled Song easily takes command from Honor and Glory. Unbridled Song to the front. The half in 46 3/4 in 1:10 racehorse time. Midway on the turn, Unbridled Song drawing clear by two. Halo Sunshine second. Cavaneer with McCarran on the outside is racing third. Prince of Thieves along the inside, fourth at this point as they straighten away in the stretch. It's Unbridled Song to lose. He's in front. He's in front by two. Here comes Cavaneer on the inside. And down the stretch they come. Unbridled Song. Cavaneer on the inside. Out in the middle of the track. Grindstone is closing stoutly. It's Cavaneer on the inside and Grindstone on the outside. McCarran and Bailey. Here's the finish. Again, too tight to call. Was it Cavaneer on the inside? Was it Bailey with Grindstone on the outside? Noses apart after a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, there it was. And Rich Migliori, who did you think won when they hit the wire?
You know what? I don't remember. I do remember just watching the replay back. And, I mean, Jerry Bailey just made every single right move. And if he did anything different, he never gets there. I honestly don't remember, though, watching it, who I thought won. It was just a great race.
Well, and that, of course, we hear some of the names involved in that, and most notably, Unbridled Song, who was a story in and of himself, and some of the tumultuous circumstances around him, and a little bit of a barking dog that inhibited him, but Grindstone and Lucas beats the upstart Baffert, but it didn't take long for Baffert to put his stamp on, because just the next year and the following with Silver Charm and Real Quiet winning back-to-back, and people forget that if Cavaneer had won that race, Baffert would have won three in a row.
And not bad for, at the time when people, you know, they always introduced him as a quarter horse trainer. I think he left that moniker behind with the resume he's put together.
Well, and here we are talking, you know, talking 1996, and it's 22 years later, and Baffert's got two in here, Lucas has got one, and with a little bit of luck and with a straight finish, Lucas would have had two if Sporting Chance had finished better in the Bluegrass. Instead, gets DQ'd and is going to have to settle for the Pat Day booby prize. Jump into it, Rich, and you know, we were together at Oaklawn, and Magnum Moon comes here, supposed to be sharing the unraced 2-year-old headlines with Justify, but Justify casts a large shadow, and it's eclipsing the moon.
Well, I think, you know, for a number of reasons. I mean, you watch him train, and you'll never see a horse train better than that horse trains. I mean, it's phenomenal to watch the way he moves, his extension. And he's straight as a string, which I think, you know, Malibu Moon drifting considerably in the Arkansas Derby, you know, feels like it turned a lot of people off of him. And at first, I was very forgiving of it, Steve. I was thinking, well, maybe he got to looking around. He lost his focus. He was wandering a bit. But then watching his last work, he was hanging on the inside rein. He wasn't getting out, but the rider was having to hold him in. He wasn't staying straight on his own. And then even on the gallop out, he tried to get out a little bit into the clubhouse turn. And so just that became more of a concern to me. You know, horses do drift for a lot of reasons. I just thought that maybe there's a little more to it than I originally gave credence to after the Arkansas Derby. But he's never done anything wrong. He's a big, strong horse. And you know he'll make his trip because he has enough speed to kind of put Luis Saez wherever he wants to be. But you go back to Justify. And he's the kind of horse that really captures people's attention because he's that glistening chestnut, you know, kind of a big imposing horse with a lot of energy. I can see why people gravitate to him, you know, besides just his raw ability.
The other headlines that are being written involve Mendelsohn and, you know, the unique circumstances around having a horse like this, you know, totally bred on an American pedigree that is, you know, in the annals, whether it's Beholder's exploits on the racetrack or Into Mischief and what he's crafting in terms of his stallion career. This is a horse that already at two established his credentials, winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and now has set his sights on the biggest prize for his trainer, one of the best in the world and one of the best in the world history, really, of horse racing, in Aidan O'Brien. Coolmore, for them, a huge opportunity, especially we're in the wake of Giants Causeway's passing, Rich, and you just know that Mendelsohn is in position to pick up that mantle. How do you view what he's being asked to do tomorrow?
Well, you know, obviously with his pedigree, you know, being half to Beholder, Into Mischief, what he did in the UAE Derby, I mean, that was jaw-dropping what he did. That being said, now, I think he's going to have to face a whole different set of circumstances. I just don't see him being able to blitz this field the way he did the Derby over in Dubai's field, where he can just run them off their feet. I think there's horses in here that have at least as much natural speed, if not more. So he's going to face a different scenario, probably coming from just off the pace, probably having to take some kickback. I just, you know, if you go back and watch the replay of the last one, Ryan Moore rode him very hard for the first eighth of a mile to make sure he established the lead. It was obviously their plan. I don't think he can get that trip this time. And I'm not saying he can't win, you know, from off the pace, because obviously on the turf he does, but he's going to have to face a different set of circumstances. And ability-wise, he absolutely belongs. This is the best chance that, you know, they've had to win a Derby coming out of, you know, a race in Dubai. And, you know, you have to go back to 86, I think it was, with Bold Arrangement, finished second for Clive Britton in the Derby. To have where a horse, you know, campaigned in Europe and then came here and made any sort of an impact. So I love the horse. I think he's phenomenally talented. I'm actually curious to hear, because I haven't seen anything yet today. I'm out in California on California time, how he conducted himself this morning, because yesterday he was a little bit, you know, vocal, hollering and you know, sweated up a little bit. But, you know, which I it's okay. You know, it's a young horse in a new place, and they get excited. And I think sometimes people mistake a horse. You know, they think it's being studdish. It's more just expelling nervous energy when they act that way and they're hollering and acting a little bit silly. So, I mean, maybe you could tell me, did he act better this morning?
He was out at about 6:45, and I did not see him. He came out the same way, and I thought yesterday, once he, you know, got his first pass and he heated up a little bit on the neck, that dried right up, and he was, this is him. I mean, this is what everybody that has watched him on a regular basis says. You know, there frankly has been, I think, other mediocrity displayed in the mornings that is of bigger concern. I think, you know, I think you don't have to worry about his preparedness.
Yeah, no, and listen, he's a world traveler. He's shown he can, you know, face different situations and handle them well. He certainly comes from the right trainer. I think they bring in a horse with a heck of a chance to win this Derby. It's almost a shame for them, Steve, that this is the year more than any other I can remember in a very, very long time. I think this is the deepest, most contentious Derby. I wouldn't be surprised if anyone of 8 or 10 won the race. And usually, to me, it's like there's 3 or 4 that really are the horses. I think this year, any one of realistically 10 can win it, and I wouldn't be shocked. And I just think it's about trips, how things are going to pan out into the first turn, what kind of pace we're going to see on. I like Audible. I really, I wasn't on him going in the Florida Derby. I watched him train and go, there's no sparkle there. But he's not a great horse in the morning. He doesn't show himself a lot. I think he looks better since the Florida Derby. Not that it's still dazzling. He's just workmanlike. But I think he's going to work out the right trip. He showed the ability to make a long, sustained run, and that's who I'm landing on. I think Vino Rosso is elevated greatly in my eyes the way he's getting over the surface at Churchill. You know, Churchill's a track tends to be a little bit loose on top. When you see a lot of horses, it just breaks away a little bit from them, and they give you that just little skip and bobble. And not that they can't run through it, but with him, you don't see it. You just see extension, and he really gets a good grip of that track. So he's a horse that was not in my top 4 or 5, and he's in my top 3 now just because of the way he trained. I've got to go with my gut instinct. Justify, phenomenal talent. Can he win the Kentucky Derby in his 4th start, potentially facing a different kind of scenario than he's ever faced before? Or is he just that good where he's going to run them off their feet? There's just so many ways to go here. Hofberg, why is Bill Mott there? Bill Mott doesn't run horses in a race like this unless the horse showed him something, made him go there. You know, I don't believe he's under any pressure from Judmont to run there.
So they want to. I mean, Judmont is happy to.
Yeah, but I don't think they put pressure on him. I think
they've been more
about if the horse takes them there. And there's just so many ways to go. I mean, it's a great wagering race. It's a great race. Like, I'm excited just as a racing fan to kind of see when the smoke clears who's standing in that winner's circle, because whoever it is going to earn it.
Well, and Audible, Vino, give us 3rd and 4th.
You know what? I got my papers here. Give me a second. I put Justify 3rd. I can't dismiss his talent. I just think he's a superior talent. And I'm looking for horses that are going to be coming from off the pace to pick up other pieces. So I'm going to use Hofberg in there. I'm actually going to use Combatant in there in spite of the post and all that, but he's just going to drop out. I'm just looking for, I think, Audible to win it. I'm probably going to use Vino Rosso in there. I almost completely forgot it. I finally found it. Bolt de Oro. I think this horse looks sounder now than he did since he was prepping for the front runner last year. I think he went through some things. I think he went through some growth periods. I think he wasn't at 100%. And if you think about the Santa Anita Derby, he's chasing Justify basically in what was a match race. There was no other contenders in there. It was a two-horse race. Who wins match races, Steve? The horse that has the most natural speed. Justify was just faster than him, and he was the one doing all the chasing, and he never gave up. He wasn't giving ground at the end. He wasn't gaining ground at the end. Different scenario this time, and I think he's training better now. I didn't like the way he trained up to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year, but I love the way he trained up to the front runner. Well, I love the way he's training up to the Derby. For a horse that admittedly is not pretty when he first hits the track, he's not, the most fluid, graceful mover when he starts out, but breezing, he's been stretching out well, he's been hitting the ground well, and I think he's primed to run the best race of his life.
Rich Migliori, everybody, and you follow Rich on Twitter, Richard Migliori, obviously. And, Mig, what's the ExpressBet TV, XBTV.com? What is the plan today and tomorrow?
Today we're on from race 8 through the Oaks, and then tomorrow we're doing the full card. We'll be on all day, get there early. Zoe Cadman, Millie Ball, Aaron Veracruzzi, Jeff Siegel, myself, and we're going to go through it all. We've done video all week about our selections for both days. Been fun handicapping these cards, Steve. I'm actually going to get involved wagering, so I think it's intriguing then. But it's just very, very competitive, good fields. You can you know, just pick this apart forever. It's just been fun looking at it. I have one horse that I'm going to start out today singling in, tomorrow singling is the amount of distaff American Girl. I'm going to go with her.
Yeah, all right. American Gal, we're going to put you down for that. And, Rich, I appreciate it. And we're going to see you in Baltimore, yes?
Yes, yeah. I'll leave here tomorrow night after the races, catch a red eye home, and then I'll be in Baltimore by the following Sunday.
Perfect. That's when I'll be down Saturday or Sunday, too, and we will start coverage. And, of course, when it comes to watch XBTV on Twitter and XBTV.com and ExpressBet, the ratchet up the attention. Johnny D is going to join us. Meg will be watching later, and knock him dead.
Thanks, Steve. Good talking with you, and I'll catch up with you in Baltimore.
You got it. Rich Migliori, everybody. And we'll turn over to Johnny. And I promised on Monday we'd come back, as we always do, to get Johnny's final play. If you haven't visited the ExpressBet Kentucky Derby Wagering Guide, there's been a couple of developments since last week, and that is the gates have been kicked down by all of you, especially the people that are stuck in communities and jurisdictions that don't have racing. And you can now access directly. And Johnny and Eddie Olchik have added their thoughts. And we've got updates. I've got an update coming later today, adjusting some wagering thoughts. And Johnny's perspective, always a terrific look at the entire field. And then the win candidates, the exotic candidates, and more. Johnny D. Happy Oaks, happy
Stevie.
Derby.
You're like a bad penny. You just keep coming back.
Well, you must be.
Show. I've really enjoyed listening to everything, and I'm feverishly taking notes when you have on excellent handicappers that you've had on the show. And I kind of, I've got my bubbling cauldron going, and I'm stirring it up, trying to come up with the correct recipe to handle this Derby.
Well, we've had the first two races in the books already, and some of you, I mentioned earlier in that first race, Jose Ortiz had been named, but it was actually Joe Bravo who won the first, because the plane carrying Lascano and others, Jose Ortiz, was delayed getting in. And so they're here now, though. So the New York jocks that missed the first race, and the rest, they are now in the room, so there won't be any missed calls. But Joe Bravo ended up picking up a nice check in the allowance that started things off. Let's, Johnny, get some of your final thoughts.
My final thoughts. Well, as things dwindled down here, for my ExpressBet column, I settled on a strategy of using Justify and the King Justify in the 1-2-3 holds of trifectas, and using many horses in the second and third slots. As everyone has said, Justify appears to be an outstanding athlete, an exceptional athlete. Does he have a lot going against him? Absolutely. However, if he breaks alertly, he should be in a position to get into that big, long, loping stride. He should be reasonably close to an early pace. He may not know there are 20 horses in the field. He may think it's just him and promises fulfilled if he gets that close. He may, depending on how it goes early, the big field and all the things we're worried about may not come into play. Do I respect trends? Yes, I do, very much. Do I respect the Apollo trend? Yes, the Apollo curse. Yes, I respect it. And that's why I'm using him in all three positions. If you said to me, who are you most afraid of? I think I'm most afraid of Good Man. And while he doesn't wow me, he's just been very consistent, and it's kind of, it seems to me that Chad Brown has made the right moves with him. didn't have him quite tightened up for the Florida race. Took him to Keeneland, got that victory. He looked great on the track. His work was fine. He just seems like he's moving forward every day. I could see him running a big race. I think he'll be there. Will he win? Yeah, you know, I like Justify. Good Magic is going to be there. I respect him next. I was an Audible fan because he comes out of the Florida Derby and his breathing does not scream the mile and a quarter, which I know that's true of a lot of these horses. And sometimes if they can go a mile and an eighth, they can go a mile and a quarter. It's not that much more. But when you're trying to break some eggs, little things count. And in Audible's case, the pictures of the hooves that have been worked on, because he has thin walls, I guess, that kind of stuff, you know, it starts to say, well, you've got to make some decisions here. You cannot use everyone. So I had Audible in the picture. I still have him in the picture, but I'm not quite as in love with him. But his record and his accomplishments, I cannot argue with. Hofberg, I think you have to give him credit for his race in Florida. You have to give him credit for Bill Mott bringing him there. Judd Mott doesn't have to be there. Nobody in that group has to be there. They're there because they think they've got a horse with a chance. You have to respect him, I think. He's done very well. Every shot I've seen of him, every report I've heard about him, he's doing very well in Kentucky. My boy Jack, last couple days, maybe not as good. Report's not as strong as before. I love Kent DeSormo on his back. I think Kent knows that race, knows how to ride that race as good as anyone. This is a closing horse. It depends if things get funky up front. And what I mean by funky, we talked about this earlier. There are several horses in here who are pace pressers. And if they get a little anxious, and if somebody, one of those jocks yells fire, and everybody runs early in this race, you could get a fast pace. And if that happens, a horse like horses like my boy Jack, Free Drop Billy, and my bomber. My bomber that I've heard a few of your guests have picked on this one, and I picked my head up because I said, oh, I thought I was the only idiot. But there are some other idiots. Lone Sailor, to me, is a very interesting horse, and I say that because I watched all his races. He tries. He really tries. He did not come around quite as fast as some of the other ones, but it's that developing kind. He's not hasn't really gotten there yet, which is why no one picks him. You know, he's not a popular choice because he hasn't done it yet. But what you want to try and do is find someone who's going to do it Saturday. He hasn't done it yet, but he might do it Saturday. So he's going to be a monstrous price. And, you know, I've heard some people say, oh, Louisiana didn't like that race. I understand that reasoning. But for this horse, in the context of his career, that was a big moment for him. In the Louisiana Derby, when he came off the turn and he made the lead, and if you watch him, it's almost like, and I hate attributing human characteristics to horses, but it's almost like he threw his head up like, what am I doing here? Where did everyone go? I really, you know, and oftentimes you hear of horses pulling themselves up or getting lost. I really believe that this horse just got to the front. He looked around and said, where is everyone? And he waited. And then here comes Noble Indy back on the outside. And I think when he saw Noble Indy, I think he tried to go after him again. And the other important thing in that race, I believe, is that, you know, on the outside, you had my boy Jack, who took way over Lamoureux, made a big long run, made a big sweeping run, and he came running, but he didn't catch Lone Sailor. So Lone Sailor was not finished. That's kind of my point.
Yep.
Noble Indy won by a neck, right? I think Lone Sailor kept running. I'm looking for a move up horse there, and at the price, he's the kind I like. Mendelsohn, I'm using completely defensively. I don't like him. I mean, I respect his ability, but it's really asking. For me, it's asking a whole bunch. I watched that race again from Dubai, and you know, everyone talks about the inside bias, and there was a speed bias, and there was an inside speed bias. I'm not a biased guy for the most part. But when I see something, when people say something, it's the other way around. Not see something, say something. This is when somebody says something, I want to see something.
That's a good line.
When people talk about how that race went, I went back and looked at it. And you've got Raya, mm-hmm. the filly, who's in the Oaks today, behind Mendelsohn early. He comes over and kind of shuts her off. And was asked to get to the lead. He got the lead, kind of shut her off. She's on the rail behind him, her head tossing because she wants to go. Finally, she settles down. She's on the rail, up close to the pace, and she's around at the end. She finishes second. She's on the wrong lead, kind of just jumping up and down. It's a mile 316. She finishes second. Now, she's 18 lengths behind. I understand it. But she, in other words, she beat everyone else home. So if you want to tell me there was an inside bias that day, I'm going to say, yeah, I see it. I see it in the winner, and I see it in the second horse. So the other thing about Mendelsohn, he ran too huge. It was too big a race for my taste. Can you come back and do that again? Ship to Ireland, back to the United States, and do it again? Go ahead and try. But I use them defensively. Too many people I respect think he can run a good race. If he wins, I lose. It's one of those. Well, I guess not, because I have him in kind of the second level, so I could back into him. But it's absolutely defensively. Baldoro, I respect the horse. I know people have reports have been he's been a little crabby in the morning. But he's like that in California, too. He's just a good horse. You know, he tried. I'm going to tell you what, he earned a lot of respect from me because Justify, people say, well, Justify had it his own way in the Santa Anita Derby. Yes, but he made it his own way. He was fast enough to take the lead and make it his own way. Baldoro tried him twice. He made two serious moves at him. The second one was in the stretch, and he got within a length of him, according to my eyes. And you and I were sitting next to each other watching the race. There was a hint of a moment where I said, uh-oh, I thought maybe, and then Justify left him. But if those two efforts didn't knock the starch out of him, he's just a tough horse. If you're playing exotics, again, we're talking exotics, second, third, fourth. He's the kind of horse that he's a tough fighter. I give him credit. That's all I got, man.
Johnny, Eddie Olchik's analysis as well will be added to the guide and the other updates, and we'll know. We'll know more Saturday, 7:00. We'll know where we stand.
I've already seen too much.
I love it. Well, Johnny, I appreciate it, and we invite everybody. We opened the gates. Anybody now can access the ExpressBet Kentucky Derby wagering guide. So let's get them over there and let's get them around.
I'm glad you were able to spit that out this morning.
Yes. Yes. Johnny D, everybody. XB Johnny D, and he'll be sending it in, guaranteed. We are going to stay right here. Johnny, thanks so much.
Stevie, have a great Derby Day. Oaks Day and Derby Day.
I appreciate it, and we'll stay right here. We've got 30 minutes to wrap up 2 weeks, and it gets tough to summarize, and we certainly weren't going to get through Oaks Day or Derby Week without a visit from the seer of seer, the prognosticator of prognosticators, the one and only Davis Rogers. We don't care what Derby Media Dad thinks, Darren Rogers. We want to know what Davis has to say. First of all, what are you hitting right now in baseball? What's your batting average?
I don't know right now.
Dad knows.
I'm doing well.
Good.
Yeah, he's having a good year. He's hitting about 400 probably between the two teams. He's playing two teams. Who are the two?
My travel ball team and then my middle school team.
Very nice.
Speak up. You got to speak. Hey,
I am speaking.
He's good. It's my fault. I had to turn you up because I had Nick Tamaro before, and Nick's got that, you know, that big booming voice. But you've got a voice that everybody listens to. You've been picking the Derby, what, 3 years, 4 years on the show?
Yep. He's got a pretty good record, doesn't he? Mm-hmm.
Started with Orb, I think.
Orb, Nyquist.
Yeah.
American Pharaoh. Yeah. And then last year we had McCracken.
And
me too. Don't feel bad.
Very bad. Just say that.
Well, maybe we can make our money back tomorrow when McCracken runs.
That's exactly right. You know he runs tomorrow, Davis.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's back.
Well,
he's not focused on.
Well, I got a different horse.
He's focused on the Derby.
Well, and what are we? What? Where are we headed?
I'm headed towards Justify. I mean, it's the beautiful horse. Looks great. The warm ups. It's just Justify. I mean, good horse.
The place to be.
And then also Hoffberg. He's been training very well. Looks great out in the course. Like yesterday, Thurby's jog or whatever it's called, gallop, whatever. Mm-hmm. It looked very well. So my two horses for the Derby.
I love it.
Now,
I love it.
How can you like Justify when he's only had three starts?
What?
He's only had three starts. Why do you like him?
Well, I mean, he's a newcomer, but he's also a very good newcomer. So, I don't even know.
Is he like what? What basketball player out of high school?
Yeah, kind of.
Really good?
Yeah.
Like a LeBron James, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's pretty good.
Gonna have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else have you been telling people about Justify?
You don't like Justify, you don't like winning.
There's the line. There, I love it. Davis Rogers joining us. Darren, your final thoughts. We kicked off all the coverages always with the invocation.
Yeah. I'm going to have to side with Davis. Imagine that.
Copier.
I'm really excited to see Justify. I mean, really, really excited. He has done nothing wrong since his arrival. He's such an imposing 1,250-pound chestnut. He glides over that Churchill Downs strip. When you're in the barn area, as he comes by you, you don't hear the hooves hitting the ground. Looks like an efficient mover. And the draw really helps him, I think. You know, with Promises Fulfilled, you know, drawing the three hole, he's going to go. Flame Away, of course, is probably going to show some speed. I think Justify is going to get a perfect stalking position. And if he wants to go and take that lead, I think he can do that too. But he doesn't need the lead.
He's going to take it. He has to hold on to it.
Yeah,
it's true.
I just think he's. I think he's all that in a bag of chips, Steve. I really do. I think he might be our next big superstar. And you know, you and I have talked about it.
Oh yeah, he's got the blue socks.
Yeah, he's got the blue socks
and then
like Pharaoh.
He's got the ears like Pharaoh.
Yep, he does.
Bob trains him. I mean, the greatest trainer. Possibly of all time, probably.
Right, he's right up there, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
You know? So, Davis knows. He's
a
believer.
I know my horses.
He's got an enviable record. He's batting the 750 on this show. And Oaks today?
And Oaks today. I'm going to take a little shot on Wonder Godot. Is that right?
Godot.
I'll let you say it, but I'm going to bet Cassie's horse. I I thought it was a tough draw for the favorites.
It was. You're absolutely right. And that hasn't been discussed. I mean, it's been discussed with, particularly with Monomoy Girl, but it hasn't been appreciated. It is a little trickier draw for
the pay scenario is tricky, too. So I'm going to Wonder Godot, I'll let you say it, is she has impressed me and caught my eye the way she's trained in the morning. So I'm going to take a shot maybe to beat the two favorites, who obviously are logical contenders. I mean,
I really don't have an oak source.
No oak source for you?
Not really.
All right. You don't have to. You're not obligated.
No, he's a derby man.
Anybody?
I'm a derby man. I'm a derby man.
And you're dressed like a derby man. You got
the part, I don't get to come derby tomorrow, so I'm like,
talk to mom. I'm working.
So. Okay, all right. It's true. But you
my
were
mom's derby. Having fun, so I'm with my grandma and my friends. So.
That's right.
All right, you watch it at home this year.
Mom wants to have fun without Davis
tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I get it. All right. Well,
she wants a kid-free day.
You're edging closer.
She needs a break from the goofball.
That's true.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Darren, as always, I think
happy
a quick
derby.
Happy derby. And take an opportunity to thank you and John Asher and the staff, everybody here. The place looks phenomenal. The success yesterday, mind-boggling.
We had record attendance
48,000.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Unbelievable.
For Derby
it's unbelievable.
Week. So, let's see if we can keep it going. The popularity of this event continues to grow. Yeah, right? You want to get a million?
Okay. We're going to have 300,000 over 2 days.
We probably can't, but we'll try.
Well, by the time you buy Taylor Boulevard, you might be able to get
now.
A million in here.
Yeah. I tell you what, the event continues to grow, and I'm so excited about it. These 2 days are here, and we have such a phenomenal race tomorrow. It's going to be fascinating, and let's see if we can get another star will be born tomorrow.
And when Sunday hits, I actually get my parents back. So.
That's true.
I love it. That's great.
I will see you on Sunday, son.
Yeah.
He's grown. He's grown since you saw him last 3 months ago.
Exactly. No. Yes. You are getting bigger, Davis. 12 and a half now.
So great. So great. Darren Rogers, Derby Media folks, of course, and his son Davis, who we've all gotten the media. We've all gotten to see Davis grow from a little bean.
He was 3 years old,
yeah,
running around
when
the
you
press
got here.
Box. And this has been we've had a fabulous tradition. We're sorry we missed you yesterday, but we always take Davis out of school on Derby.
Sure.
He's dad's assistant at work.
No, it's all right.
Now he's back
for
Oaks. And
this was a good break. This was a perfect opportunity. You came at the ideal time.
Perfect. Well, good luck. Thanks for all your coverage this week, Steve.
My
I know
pleasure.
The horse players love it. I know I love it, and it's invaluable service. So thank you for attending once again.
Too kind.
Thank you.
Davis, best of luck. Big D.
Thank you.
Little D and Big D will stay right here because standing by, Rick Hammerly and Jimmy Ventura. And it's an odd year that we don't have the two of them swinging through the parlay for a visit. And we'll certainly, before Triple Crown season is over, we'll get them in New York. And undoubtedly, that's always the backstop on the trip. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Hi, Jimmy. I just have one quick question before we begin. So I was a little confused. Since there's no more Boy Scouts, are we still allowed to be prepared?
You bet.
I was getting ready, and I didn't know if that was cool. Anyway, let's rock for Derby 144.
Morning, Steve. How are you,
Jimmy? Good morning. And it's tough. Usually, I stride into the paddock at some point during Oaks or Derby Day, and there the two of you are. But we'll save it for New York, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It needed to stay closer to home. Mom's going to be 94 in a month, and just thought it would be best. The only way I would have made the trip out there is if I would have owned a piece of Justify. But since I don't, I'm just hunkering down here in New York City, and we'll watch it with her and wager appropriately.
I love it. We'll talk about
the handle will not go down just because we're not there.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not worried. Before we do it, Rick, I didn't get a chance to talk to Tom Quigley yesterday, and we should mention you've got a nice weekend, actually. It's Senorita tomorrow, and I didn't look at Sunday's draw yet.
Are we racing this weekend? I didn't even see that. Yeah, we've got 11 on tap today, tomorrow, and 9 for Sunday, but, you know, let's not beat around the bush here. The focus is on Kentucky. We're going to have a huge crowd here, and so, you know, our races just kind of go along with Churchill's. But, yes, a couple of good stakes, and then actually a real good stake on Sunday. It's one of those occasions, again, $100,000 $100,000 filly and mare stake. We get Val Dori in there. We get Fault in there. We get Mended in there. You know, it's actually better than our grade one. So it's going to be a good little addition. Sunday we'll concentrate a little bit more, but as you know, Friday and Saturday we'll be looking on to Churchill Downs.
Excellent. And we certainly have had a West Coast tinge to the coverage and to the discussions, and maybe that's the place to kick off, Hammer, with your Derby and Oaks thoughts in particular, because between Midnight Bisou, Justify, Bolt Doro, and more, the West Coast very heavily represented. And give us your weekend
picture. Throughout the day as well, a lot of West Coast horses. And you know what? We've talked at nauseam really about the Derby. And it's funny, I came up with something the other day, as I'm sure you do, and people in the business. We get phone calls this week from our friends that aren't in the business, and they want to know, who do you like, and, you know, who's going to win? Give me some. And so one of the last phone calls I got was from a good buddy of mine, Paul. He's in Florida. He says, boy, it looks like a crapshoot. And I said, you know what? It is a crapshoot, but I'm going to tell you, when you're at a craps table, what are you doing? You want 7 and 11, baby. Roll those bones, and that's it. I mean, that's about it. That, I don't need to go any further. We've been talking for the last couple weeks. 7, 11, let's rock, and that's it. Maybe a little My Boy Jack underneath, but any plays that I do vertically or horizontally are going to include 7 and 11. The superfecta obviously is the bet I think you shoot for, and I'm going to play that pretty safely, thinking that 7-11 are going to be in the top four and work around that, you know, with another 10 or 12 horses. And that's it. Roll them bones, 7-11.
Justify and Bolt Doro for Hammer, and you mentioned My Boy Jack. Who else? Who give us a third and a fourth that you know will be on the prime ticket?
Well, you know, I like you know, just the fact that Bill Mott's running this horse in there just gives me a double look. So Hofburg is okay for me on the ticket, and for, I don't know why I can't get away from Lone Sailor.
Yep.
I like the way the move he made last time. If for some reason the race, you know, falls apart up front, I think he's going to be one of the ones coming to pick up, you know, a chance to get a partial in the superfecta. So those would be my bottom horses.
Very good. So Justify, Bolt, Hofburg, Lone Sailor, Jimmy Ventura, Derby thoughts.
It's Justify. Period. Matter of fact, I'm getting caught up in the romanticizing of this whole thing and him being a great and trying to witness greatness. He just gives me chills when I watch him. I watched all this XBTV workouts and gallops. He's impressive. The other day on one of the gallops, he was galloping by, Todd's horse comes flying by him on the inside. He bucks, launches, mm-hmm. and the rider is able to pull him back. So everybody says he doesn't have the experience, he doesn't have this. This horse could break running, shut off where they get him to relax, and him shutting off might be going like 10 flat for three quarters. And he just doesn't get tired. And I've watched it from day one. I watched a maiden race. I was, you know, invested in him prior to that race, actually. And I just think that he is a superstar. I think that, you know, I'm hoping for it, but I just think that he is just a dominant force. And from a crazy standpoint, gambling with maybe a little bit more of my heart than just completely my head, I'm singling him on everything. I'm not even backing him up for second. And the reason by doing that with him running, and I agree with Hammer that Bolt is probably the second best horse, I'm just going to make one big play on one big exacta with those two, which probably pays $30. And then I'm going to single justify on top of seven or eight horses in a superfecta, hoping I can catch a bomb underneath it. So for seven horses, for a dollar, it's going to cost $2.10. For eight horses, it's going to cost $3.36. If I'm, you know, a little bit take away the hard aspect of it, you probably put justify in the second hole with those same seven or eight horses in both positions. But I really think it's going to be him and Bolt. The other ones underneath, Vino Rosso, he ran a top last time. He's just one of those grinders. He's been training great from what I see and what I heard. So he's definitely going to be in the ticket. I know Good Magic is training lights out, so it'd be hard for me not to. But, you know, for the super, you really need to put some bombs in there, like a free drop Billy. Everybody's on the Hofburg, Billy Mott. Why is Billy Mott putting this horse in the Derby? I'm sure he has a shot to maybe hit the board, but again, I'm going to try to stretch it out a little bit and go for some bombers in there, like, again, free drop Billy. My boy Jack, everybody likes him a little bit, but I'm going to toss him off my ticket, and I might put Audible in underneath as well. But the top four are Justify, Bolt, Vino Rosso, and Good Magic.
Very good. I like it. How about today? How about the Oaks Hammer?
Well, I you know, it's hard, as you can witness as well, it's hard to not to watch the Santa Anita Oaks and not be overly impressed with the move that that Midnight Bijou made. And so with that stuck in my head, obviously, I mean, she's going to be one of the plays without a doubt. And I think I'm going to play her on a win, and hopefully the price will be all right. A couple of horses that I'm not going to let beat me, especially in the horizontal bets. One of those is My Miss Lily from the Mark Henning Barn. She looks like she's sitting on a good one. And a couple of bombs that stick out to me is that Wonder Godot. Is that how you say that?
Godot.
Godot.
Godot. Wonder Godot. I see nothing but, you know, competitiveness in her, and her price is on the line as well as Eskimo Kisses on the outside. The same type of deal. Big price, can definitely be underneath. I don't want to let them beat me. I should go back and watch some of the favorite on the outside, Manami Girl, and I will. I want to watch a couple of these early races, which I haven't been doing, and see how it plays, how the track's playing. If the speed's doing anything, every once in a while you get a highway there, as you know, and we'll keep an eye on her. So from the 14 hole, I'm not thrilled. I you know, you hate to let her beat you if you got a pick five going, but I'm not thrilled at all with her. So if I leave her out, I'm not going to be that upset. But that's I think Midnight Bijou. Like I said, that move that we saw, you know, that effortless move by Mike Smith when he just made around. He made a quarter mile run and then said, okay, that's enough, and eased up. So the number's probably not as good on paper as it could have been. So I think she fits that Churchill Downs layout, especially with the long stretch.
Jimmy.
And, yeah, I mean, but the favorites look tough. I'm going to lean towards the OBS graduate, which is Midnight Bijou, rooting for the home team a little bit. But I would say Midnight Bijou, and I like Eskimo Kiss as well, underneath on the ticket. And apparently, and I spoke to our mutual friend Gary Young the other day, and he told me that Wanda Godot is really training up a storm, so another long shot. I just think that the favorites probably have a significant edge in this race, and I'm hoping for Midnight Bijou.
Excellent. Hammer, let me also mention, you got Drysdale, who looks he's got to have some live runners that are signed on here. Toinette and Madam, which not dance a lot, Madam Stripes. Certainly, be nice to see Neil Drysdale do well this weekend. And if Bill Spahr could win a race like the Oaks, it really there'll be so many people. Not just happy, but really heartened. It would be a wonderful message across the industry to see a Bill Spahr win a Kentucky Oaks.
That'd be great. I mean, Bill's a trainer's trainer. He's here every day at the crack of dawn. I think he gets up at 3 a.m. I will tell you honestly, I don't get here late. I'm one of the first, you know, people that work at the track that, and I'm here every day by 7. Sometimes I'm here at 6:30. And I'll tell you this, many a day when I'm pulling in, he's pulling out. And he's not
he's
pulling
finished.
Out to take a, not to take a break. He's done for the day.
Yeah.
He gets there at the crack of dawn and before the crack of dawn and has his first horses. His horses are the first horses on the track every day, gets his stuff done, and boom. But he's on top of everything. You know, he runs everything from claimers to state courses, you know, with Amazombie and others. And so it would be. It's a feel-good story. Jeff Bloom, his ownership group, they're good guys. And just kind of like this horse has got good, broke his maiden in a stake and won another one, and then just really turned it on in the yoke. So, yeah, there's a lot of people here rooting for Bill Spahr to win that race for sure.
Well, it should be a wonderful weekend, and guys, look forward to working with you. 2 weeks, we'll get certainly get a Preakness look, but we'll really enjoy ourselves together when we're in New York. And Hammer, we'll talk to you Friday and recap.
Sounds great, Steve. And sorry to miss it, but we're there. We're there. Believe me, we're there.
Hey, Steve, quick question. What's the weather like out there, and is Rushing Fall running today or tomorrow?
She runs today. She runs today, and certainly weather-wise, there's going to be a little rain at some point, but not a lot, it doesn't seem, at this point. Some of it will fall overnight, maybe a little tomorrow morning, but the forecast has gotten much, much better by the hour. So I think we're okay. I think we dodged a bullet.
Well, that's great. Have an awesome few days. I know that although I won't be there, I will be wagering appropriately. I'm just really super excited about the race because I really think that it's a shame that that mainstream press hasn't caught on, because I really think that this horse, Justify, can catch the imagination of the country pretty quickly. So that's what I'm hoping for as a fan from when I was a kid, and I just think he's the one to beat for sure.
Jimmy, thanks a lot. Jimmy Ventura, everybody.
Take care. Have a good
Rick
one.
Hammerly.
Best of luck.
You too.
And thanks all your good information all week, Steve. Really, it's been great to listen to all your guests. Give us a little.
Yeah, you keep me abreast of what's going on while I'm back in the office in New York City. So thanks again.
Not at all. That's what we love doing. And we'll stay here, and we'll close out the string and close out the 2 weeks. Duke Matisse joining us, and we had his brother, we had Paul the other day, and I said we got to give Dookie a shot as well. Duke is either on his way here or he may have arrived already. Duke, good morning.
Hey, Steve, what's going on?
You just get in?
I am walking through the turnstile.
I love it. Duke,
you love it?
Not a lot of time, but let me get a couple of top line opinions from you. Your brother wants to key off of Lone Sailor, whose name came up quite a bit today. How are you approaching Derby tomorrow?
I like Lone Sailor. I think 50-1 is absolutely insane. But if he hits the board, it's going to be a very good day for probably the Matisses, I would imagine. I like the way he ran in at Fairgrounds, and I like the way that he's training, and if it ever rains, look out.
How do you bet him, though? So when you say if he hits the board, and we did hear this from a little bit earlier with Johnny DeSantis too, Justify first, second, and third keyed, how do you structure it so that if he hits the board, you score?
I probably, like you said, key him first, second, and third. I think there's only a select few that can win it, including Justify, Mendelssohn, maybe a few others. So I'll put them, you know, on top with him second, third, and fourth in supers, and I'll try to eliminate at least, you know, eight of them, because you can't play alls in the Kentucky Derby, so they cost too much. But I'll try to eliminate a bunch and try to maneuver some tickets. And if he ever wins, it'll be amazing.
Very nice. What else on the card caught your eye? Any thoughts about the Phillies today?
The other thing about the Derby too is I was going to play combatant, but I'm not playing any horse from post 20. That's got to pass them all probably. So originally I was going to play him to beat, in the super, but now I'm going to that other horse. I think he draws better and he's going to be just as big a price. So what difference does it make?
There you go, Duke. Any other spots?
Today I really like the sushi horse, gas station sushi. I think it's attention that one, right?
Interesting. All right, and the eight bells.
I think the only horse that can beat her is probably the five. The horse that ran once at the Runkeeler Fairgrounds with a big figure.
The Brissette. Talk Viv to me.
Yeah. That one. That I think that's the only one that can beat her. Gas station sushi was had one of the worst trips I ever seen and still won last time.
Yep.
But there's a lot. I think there's a lot of more plays tomorrow. So I think tomorrow is going to be a more interesting day for me betting wise. Today I didn't have too much.
Name one more tomorrow. Maybe the American Turf
I'll
or the Pat
you,
Day.
I'll give you the horse. The horse I like in the Oaks is Eskimo Kiss.
Okay.
Yeah, right here. I think there was no pace last time, and I think she's going to get lots more to run at this time.
She does, and there'll be honest pace at the very least. That Pat Day Mile, do you have a plan yet?
Pat Day Mile, I'm walking in, so you got to give me some names.
With Mississippi
is
and
that
Mass.
The awesome horse? Oh, is it? Oh no, I like Mississippi.
You too. All right, Mississippi. At this rate, Mississippi is going to be 4-1.
There's no way she could go off 10. Hey. Though. I mean, that was a
no.
Bad
the 10 time. Was high. 10 was
yeah,
high.
The 10 was good. I say 6. How about that?
All right. Duke.
I'll take 6.
I will see you. You're playing in the challenge, right?
I am not. I've been so busy that I didn't even get here to the I'm just walking in now, so and I know the way it is tomorrow I won't get here till a certain time of day, so it's just too tough. I wasn't thrilled with the one that you could bet one race on each day either. That's not my those aren't my favorite tournaments where I think guys get together and they all make one big bet, and I think they got to stop that. So it's unfortunate that they have that rule in there. But for me, I think that's not a good thing for a horse racing betting contest.
I hear you. All right. Well, Duke, I'll see you at some point, undoubtedly.
Yeah, hopefully I see you.
Absolutely. We'll catch up.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Duke Matisse, everybody, to round out a pretty furious 3 hours, and we got about a minute and a half to kind of wrap this all up with a bow. And I'll thank Satish and Nick Tamaro, Jonathan Kinchin, Jeremy Plonk, Scully and DeRosa, Jay Privman, Mig Hammer, and Jimmy Ventura, Duke, and Darren and Davis Rogers. And I want to thank all of you for taking an interest these 2 weeks as we lead into the race day. We're actually up to race four, 3 minutes to post, actually, for race four. My analysis is up for Friday. I'll get the Saturday up as quickly as possible. I'm keying off of Justify. Good Magic. Hofberg's moved up on my radar screen quite a bit as well. And I'll get you the plays up as soon as possible. The thank yous to everybody that makes the Triple Crown season coverage possible. Cole Ranch in California, the Match Series, which is going to kick off in 2 weeks when we're in Baltimore, the Virginia Equine Alliance, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, Thoroughgraph, and the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association. We're going to go out, and you're going to listen as we leave, to the race from 1968, from 50 years ago today. And this is a Derby that will remain controversial forever. And having met Peter Fuller and having had him on the show, today's a day 50 years ago that changed in some ways, kind of ruined his life, as successful a man as he was, and very unfairly, Dancer's Image, his name is not on the building, and that was quite unfair, and to Bobby Ussery as well. But it's not going to be changed now. Let's send you out into Derby weekend. 50 years ago today, Bill Finley with a terrific piece, and Milt Toby with the book about Dancer's Image, if you want the whole story. 1968 Derby. Good luck this weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
And they come away pretty well with some TV commercial thumbs in the little building. He's coming out dead. Here's Kentucky Sherry that's going to go as far as he can, I guess, on the front end. Don B is trying to run out of the middle with him in captain's gig. It is Kentucky Sherry that's setting the pace as they come toward the finish line the first time. Forward pass trying to run on the outside to get position, and captain's gig's right alongside him. It is Kentucky Sherry that leads the charge to the finish line, and we've got a mile left. Kentucky Sherry leads by half a length. Captain's gig is second. We've got forward pass to the outside of those two third. Gleaming Sword up closer than you expect him to be is in their fourth. Don B along the rail is fifth. Then we get Jig Time in their sixth. Iron Ruler is seventh. TV Commercial has gotten up to eighth. Verbatim is ninth. Tay Vega is tenth. Proper Perk is ninth. Francis Head is tenth. Then in there we get Trouble Brewing. And it is Dancer's Images there on the back end. Three quarters left as they head down the backside. And Kentucky Sherry draws out to a length lead. Captain's Gid is second. Captain's Gid leading their forward pass by three parts of a length. It's a length and a half back to Gleaming Sword fourth. We get two more lengths in Don B fifth. Then we got Jig Time in there. Now Francis Head is starting to slip through along the rail. Then we come back to Iron Ruler and Dancer's Image with Trouble Brewing, Proper Proof, and Verbatim on the back end. Half mile left in the derby. And it's still Kentucky Sherry that's going. Captain's Gig is still second, and forward pass is running with him right now for it. It's forward pass. It comes into second place. Captain's Gig is in there. Then it's back to Don B. Gleaming Sword is fading as Francis Head comes inside of him. And here's TV Commercial. It's charging to the outside, and Dancer's Image has got some run left there on the outside. And as we come to the top of the stretch, Kentucky Sherry and forward pass are locked up in a duel. Around the turn to come, it's Kentucky Sherry on the inside. And now here's Dancer's Image. It's gone to the rail, and he's coming like a house of fire. Forward pass outside of those two. Dancer's Image is there, and he's battling for the lead right now. We've got 200 yards to go. Dancer's Image is the leader, and forward pass is coming up into second place. Dancer's Head charges into third, and it is just yards to go. Dancer's Image is trying to hang on and charging his Francis Head, but it is Dancer's Image that wins it by two lengths.
Dancer's Image was first under the wire. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.